faces rest to gaze on me, and in this darkness, foolishly I run. This is the wrong way, losing my senses.
Minutes after 11. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver. 88.5 FM, 1390 AM. Online all over the world. KGNU.org. I'm Buddha Bomb. Having lots of fun tonight, hanging out here with E23. He put on yet one more masterful show of electronic music on the show called Electronic Air. But times have changed. Now, it's time for Under the Floorboards. A little bit different, underground experimental noise.
Of course, in the kitchen.
See what I mean?
Shucking corn. A man sells life insurance. In the master bedroom and den wait two other men with life expectancy charts. They've helped themselves to razor-thin china bowls full of sliced bananas. A sales rep sits in the children's bedroom, blanching bacon over a hot plate. And he's got a life insurance offer that really, if you're completely and totally honest, it just can't be beat. On the master bath toilet, another salesman, holding an oyster and a chrome-handled oyster knife, sits with an actuary standing by at the alert. He's offering free premiums for the first 3 months. One life insurance salesman for each room of the house. And this place has 8,000 square feet, not counting the garage or deck. Let's face it, this place is a goddamn dream home.
Controversial nature of this production, and hope you will perceive it not as a frivolous form of entertainment, but rather as an important and educational social documentary. The purpose of this production is not to endorse the values expressed in the following works, but rather to create a deeper understanding of our media and its progression. Thank you.
The parties to the assignor are Leonard H. Goldenson, Elton H. Rule, Frederick S. Pierce, Everett H. Ehrlich, Michael P. Malardi, James L. Abernathy, Arnold H. Agree, Mark H. Cohen, Peter Cusack, John T. Dealey, Richard L. Freund, Jerome B. Golden, Robert T. Goldman, Ann Maynard Gray, David Johnson, Ellis O. Moore, Warren D. Schwab, Alfred R. Schneider, Edward D. Williams, David J. Von Drake, William E. Pearson, Vincent B. Romano, Alan J. Rowan, John J. Walters, Philip R. Farnsworth, Franklin Feinstein, Ray C. Adam, Frank T. Carey, John T. Connor, Jack Hausman, Ulrich Haynes Jr., Leon Hess, George P. Jenkins, Thomas M. Mazziosi, Norman T. Pace, Martin J. Schwab, Simon B. Siegel. The parties to the assignee are Davis Fowler Corporation, Weaver Broadcasting Company, Philip C. Davis, Carol L. Davis, David L. Fowler, Barbara F. Holland, James M. Dale.
And once again, acknowledging the previously stated witnesses for the legal documentation of this, the first existing 1970s nostalgia broadcast on this date, Monday, the 11th day of June, 1984. Moribund Music of the 70s is copyright, and use of the format without written permission of the creator is prohibited. Start time, 2:19.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the next 5 hours, we'll be taking a journey, a wondrous expedition through an almost forgotten land, to tread a fusty old pathway. It has been a long time since you have taken this course. The terrain may be rugged, but we invite you to place yourself in the capable hands of veteran tour jockey Dick Vaughn, and the way will once again become clear. Please come along with Dick as he officially offers you this last chance excursion into yesteryear. For soon the path will be overgrown and lost forever. Come with us now for your very first 70s nostalgia experience. Dick Vaughn's Moribund Music of the 70s.
Good morning, you're listening to Moribund Music of the 70s, the very first ever 70s nostalgia presentation, and my name is Dick Vaughn. And today we're going to be taking a look not only at the ailing top hits from those 10 years, we'll also have numerous other surprises, such as the one we're about to get into. Now, I brought along a number of original commercials. Now, some of them are, I guess, a little obscure, and some, I guess, we can consider memorable, such as this one. From January of 1971.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
But did you say you wanted to cover my peanut butter with your milk chocolate?
Yes, I did.
It's been done.
You get two great tastes in one candy bar. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Old-fashioned peanut butter, pure milk chocolate. Two great tastes that taste great together in Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Look for Reese's on the bright orange wrapper.
You get two great tastes in one candy bar. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
The preceding 60 seconds were presented as an important historical and cultural study. The previously stated product is not necessarily endorsed by the staff and or management of this station. We now continue with Moribund Music of the 70s and Dick Vaughn.
Body. 1972 was the year for that incredibly popular, well, I guess you could call it a novelty hit, Popcorn from Hot Butter, also from 1977, Float On by the Floaters. And I think that'll give us a chance to put the phones to use, actually. If you'd like to be on the air, just pick up and dial area code 415-848-4425 and tell me who are the Floaters, the names mentioned in the song. Now, who are they? Or who do they claim to be? 415 area code 848-4425 will put you on Moribund Music of the 70s.
Look at some of the artists we've got coming up. We've got music from Daddy Dewdrop, also DeFranco Family, Andrea True Connection, Ray Stevens, Gilbert O'Sullivan, to mention a few. We'll get to those calls right now. Take a floater's call. Hello.
This is your long-lost Uncle Holy Ned.
Would you be able to name off those songs?
Yeah.
Well, not the songs, actually artists in the song, the floaters.
Yeah, let's see. Dramatics, The Devil Is Dope, and I hope you have Blake.
Okay, we'll take our next call. Hello, who is this?
Hello, this is The Terrorist. I've never really done this before, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's just that I really don't know who the floaters are, and I really want to know who they are.
Okay, well, if you were listening right before we played our... Well, next to the last thing we played,
uh-huh.
we had Float uh-huh. On from the Floaters, a 1977 hit
uh-huh.
from them. Very popular at the time. Not anything you'd necessarily hear these days, but... anyway,
yeah.
what have you got for us? You got a guess on any of the names?
Well, I have one thing to say.
Yes?
That I really have no idea.
Okay.
Who they are.
All right. Well, we didn't get those. Let's go over those. Those are kind of hard. Okay, first of all, we had Ralph, followed by Charles, Paul, and Larry. Floaters, music coming out of 1977. And we now continue.
Beginning shortly, you will be given the opportunity to take part in a historical event. The compilation of Moribund Music of the 70s, first official top 10. Starting in less than 10 minutes and throughout the early morning, you'll be hearing portions of specially selected back burner hits of the 70s. You'll then be granted the privilege of calling in to vote for your favorites. Then at 5 a.m., we will count them down in order from number 10 to number 1. Stay by your phone. The chance to perch your favorite Moribund hit in a prominent position is coming in minutes from your first ever 70s nostalgia event. Moribund Music.
Employees of Solburn Computer Systems Limited and Morstat Market Research Incorporated, as well as their friends and family members, need not participate.
Moribund Music, 1978.
Poor old John Sebastian from 1976, the theme to the popular series Welcome Back, Cotter, and that's called Welcome Back. And also we heard from David Geddes, 1975, that was a number 4 song for him, that was Run Joey Run.
1979.
Get ready to pick up your phone. Solburn Computer Systems Limited, in cooperation with Morstat Market Research, presents your opportunity to participate in an historic event, the compilation of the very first Moribund Music Top 10.
Here are your instructions, so listen carefully. You're about to hear portions of 4 specially selected back burner hits of the 70s. For listeners equipped with Solburn Cubulax or a comparable interactive system, simply touch the appropriate key when you hear the tone.
For those of you without two-way systems, simply pick up your phone and call area code 415-848-6767. Special operators are standing by to accept your vote for your favorite. Selected callers may be asked to participate in a brief survey.
Ladies and gentlemen, here are your selections.
Selection number 1.
Fear, don't be a hero, don't be a fool with your life.
Selection number 2.
Whoa, Black Betty, bam, lam, whoa, Black Betty, bam, lam, Black Betty had a child. Bam, lam, the damn thing gone wild. Bam, lam, said it weren't none of mine.
Number 3.
interactive systems will touch now.
All other listeners, please phone now, area code 415-848-6767, and inform your special operator as to which you prefer, selection 1, 2, 3, or 4. You have 5 minutes in which to call.
Then listen at 5 this morning to hear the tabulated results. Your favorite Moribund hits, counted down in order from number 10 to number 1.
More specially selected favorites are coming up in just minutes. So keep listening.
There's a change that's come over America. A change that's great to see.
President Ford does make me feel good about America. Very good.
We're living here in peace again. We're going back to work again. It's better than it used to be.
Oh, I think basically it's my enthusiasm as a man.
I'm feeling good about America, and that's why I'm voting for Jerry Ford.
I'm for President Ford, and I like him because
I'm feeling good about America.
I think most Americans are feeling good about America. Let's keep going.
I'm feeling good about America. I'm feeling good about me.
Paid for and authorized by the President Ford Committee, Royston C. Hughes, Treasurer.
The preceding 60 seconds were presented as an important historical and cultural study. The previously stated product is not necessarily endorsed by the staff and or management of this station.
Thank you.
potrzebujemy przejść na miary bardziej obiektywne, liczyć na obliczanie wysiłku potrzebnego, wysiłku mierzonego liczbą roboczo-godzin potrzebnych na wykonanie tej produkcji. Z tego względu przeszliśmy już w obecnej chwili 12 przedsiębiorstwa na rozliczanie produkcji od poczekłonności i przyjmują również wyniki przedsiębiorstwa obliczane w tym samym szczeblu. Natomiast w przemyśle okrętowym stosujemy również miernik poczekłonności, ale wyłącznie jako podstawa do ustalenia wielkości zatrudnienia i środków na fundusz płac.
The sound you're hearing in the background is a loop of tape, a loop approximately 8 inches in perimeter, recorded at 7.5 inches a second, spliced end to end, going through a tape recorder. The purpose of this little tape demonstration is to give an idea of the overall evolution of my particular approach to synthetic rhythms. I showed you just a moment ago what a short loop of tape sounds like in a loop. Now I'm going to play one with a longer interval, a longer piece of tape. The instruments that I make these loops on are a pair of Indian tabla, one of which I have here. Actually, striking the drum in this way doesn't give anywhere near the overall range of sounds which I can get from this drum by using various techniques with a recorder. Now I'm going to add a single note on this same drum, this one that goes so, and show you how we can change the rhythm slightly, give a very strange sound from this drum. Now that popping sound that you hear was created with this small Indian tabla. Another instrument I use is a Haitian conga drum. The variation in sounds with this drum you'll notice that we got two distinct sounds out of the conga drum by striking the drum as we started the tape mechanism rolling, at which time it's traveling at a slower speed than normal. Therefore, the sound covers a smaller area of the tape and raises itself in pitch. So these drums are capable of providing quite a few different sounds. I use a few bells. I use vocal sounds, and I'll give a demonstration of vocal sounds. This technique incidentally requires at least two tape recorders, one to make loops on and play them back while you record them onto a regular magnetic tape. So we'll start with Sonata for Loudspeaker, which used some of the aforementioned instruments as well as vocal sounds. Thank you. Well, that was Sonata for Loudspeaker in Three Parts, using a variety of drums and vocal sounds. The next step after this was to work primarily on percussion and rhythm and to find out what I could about the characteristics of rhythm. I'm going to play another early experiment. The next step, really, which occupied me for another 5 months or so, was working with two rhythms simultaneously, and I managed to do this by using a binaural tape recorder, recording one constant rhythm on one channel and variations on another. Rhythms are played on two tape recorders, and instead of using contrasting sounds as in the earlier compositions, the same basic sound pattern is used. And for example, one measure or a cycle of it is contrasted with a distorted two, two and a half, three, three and a half, or four cycle. The rhythm is constantly changing. You get the kind of same asymmetrical pattern that you get in African rhythms. Is a short thing that exploited mostly vocal sounds. You've been listening to a tape demonstration of a group of experiments in synthetic rhythm, which I was doing in 1953 and 1954.
Говорит Ленинград. РВ-3. РВ-3. Волна 1000 метров. Thank you.
Caturra proletariato! Ora!
Vision of earth was water veiled. I am of the race of men and women who see all things through a curtain of sea. I remember my first birth in water. I sway and float, stand on boneless toes, listening for distant sounds. Sounds beyond the reach of human ears, seeing things beyond the reach of human eyes. Born full of memories of the bells of Atlantis, always listening for lost sounds and searching for lost colors. Lost in the colors of Atlantis. Colors running into one another without frontiers. It was like yawning. I loved the ease and the blindness of the suave voyages on the water, bearing one through obstacles. Far beneath the level of storms, I slept. I moved within color and music, like inside a sea diamond. There were no currents of thoughts, only the caress and flow of desire, mingling, touching, traveling, withdrawing, wandering the endless bottoms of peace.
Thank you.
could only be found at night by the root of the twin. Accomplished in silence. Brought me up to the surface. When anger has corroded me, I rise. I always rise after the crucifixion. And I am in terror of my ascensions.
only one proves it.
But back to Friday, I must not be so easily diverted.
Oh, what was that again?
The Friday family belong to an uncommon theological order. The Sandominians, they were called.
Oh, I...
In his later years, and indeed throughout his life, Friday thought that men of science were given to higher moral feelings than other men.
Well, Mr. Thomas, how does that statement jive with page 13 of your biography here, where you state that the Sandomanians were a lusty sect of sun worshippers and that young Friday would spend hours hanging upside down and naked in his backyard reading pornographic Sandomanian texts, purportedly found in a crashed alien pod by Dr. Sandomanian himself?
And what did he say of his reading? He said this: "It made me think. It made me think. The connection with a good book has no equal in how it can turn a mind."
Well, let's hope that's not always true. But beyond his massive sexual appetite for misshapen physiques, what can you tell us about the supposedly alien electrical experiments which were illustrated in these Sandomanian books?
Friday was already engaged in doing some experiments he had read about in the books. And he said, "I made such experiments as could be defrayed in their expense by a few pence a week."
But what was the nature of these...
Isn't that just wonderful to hear?
Yes. Now that he owns half the world, it's hard to believe he started out on such a shoestring.
Friday wrote, "I am now constantly employed in observing the works of nature and tracing the manner in which she directs the order and arrangement of the world."
Now, what do you suppose he meant by that?
Order and arrangement of the world.
I see. Sort of a vast world vision that would probably...
And this phrase, order and arrangement...
Yes.
By that he meant the great scheme of things in nature, order and arrangement.
Well, with just a few minutes left, I'd like to get back to...
Now Friday heard of this event, that electricity makes magnetism. And in his notebook he wrote, "Make magnetism produce electricity. Make magnetism produce electricity."
Huh.
The year was 1820.
Wait a minute. I don't even have to take off my shoes to figure that would make him, let's see, 1820 to 1900, that's 60 plus, what is it now?
For 11 years, he labored on the idea, make magnetism produce electricity.
So, let's see, 1820 plus 11, that's...
In 1831, the discovery was unfolded.
Ah, yes, yes. And that, of course, must have been that famous first probe into the mysteries of transinfiltration, which killed all those assistants. But, Mr. Thomas, in the short time left, can we move on to the aspect...
I am busy just now on electromagnetism. I think I have hold of a good thing, but cannot say for sure.
Well, all right. But then, how did this electrical work prepare him for his many political and diplomatic accomplishments? You know, he's running again in 92.
Soon after the discovery, Mr. Friday demonstrated it to the Prime Minister. "Of what use is it, Mr. Friday?" said the Prime Minister. To which Friday replied, "Mr. Minister, one day you may be able to tax it."
Tax it.
"One day you may be able to tax it."
Tax
it. Isn't that a wonderful reply?
Super reply. But now, was this prior to the patent laws that now give him exclusive usage rights over that technology? And at that point in time, how could he have foreseen...
And on another occasion, a lady put the same question. "Of what use is it, Mr. Friday?" And he replied, "Of what use is a newborn baby, madam?"
Indeed, sometimes I still ask myself that one. And I also wonder how Friday, at such a young age, was creating all these things so long ago, as if he could understand what the future would.
So now, when you see the huge transmission lines stretched across the land, And when you visit the huge generating plants where falling water gives birth to the electric fluid which lights your home and toasts your bread, and when the day turns dark and the darkness is turned to light by a million neon flames, think of Friday, that little boy born to a blacksmith who gave to the world this enormous gift of his genius.
Super genius, super genius. But tell us about all that wealth. I think most people want to hear about all that money.
And so he had to decide, make money, gather wealth, or serve science and mankind. His decision, we can already guess.
I guess so.
And he spoke ever constantly in this refrain. The sweetest reward of my work is the sympathy and goodwill which flows to me from all quarters of the earth.
Wishful
of all
thinking
his
there,
great and wonderful characteristics, the most prominent, I would say, must be his sense of order and his humble heart. Of his many utterances, this stands nobly among them. For the philosopher, truth adds industry within the veil of science, he said. It is a glorious school for the mind.
Well,
and
that's
this phrase.
Yes.
There is nothing too wonderful to be true.
Is that true?
Nothing too wonderful to be true.
Just kidding. Well, we are right out of time, Dr. Thomas. So
I say it would be good for boys to get jobs like this today.
Well, I'm sure they'll try, Mr. Thomas. You mean like...
Remember, too, Ben Franklin was an errand boy and an apprentice to a printer. You will remember I told about that.
Yes, I do remember, Dr. Thomas, and thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks for that insight into the early years of C. Eliot Friday. We've been talking with Delmar Detmer Thomas, the one and only authorized biographer of C. Eliot Friday. As we continue here on the Piddle Diddle Report with our topic for tonight, C. Eliot Friday and the Soviet Connection. I must say, Mr. Thomas must be quite a draw because our ABS audience meter, indicating how many of you are tuned in to us, took a giant flying leap into the really big numbers right in the middle of that interview. Well, glad to have you aboard, and I know you'll want to stay with us as these historical events in the Soviet Union continue to develop, and we explore the mysterious role of C. Eliot Friday, the world's most mysterious tycoon, in these events. We'll be back with more right after these messages.
This is the American Broadcasting System.
Yes, thank you, Negative Land. Well, that brings us to the close of another Under the Floorboards show. Under the Floorboards is on every Saturday night from 11 p.m. until midnight. Experimental underground sound and noise, something a little bit different. I always have lots of fun doing Under the Floorboards. You're listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, online and all over the world, KGNU.org. Doesn't look like sleepless nights is going to happen tonight, even though it might be a sleepless night for some. I'm going to stick around, clean up, save a few files, that kind of thing. We're going to hear some more Negative Land. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Buddha Bomb. Having lots of fun.
Good hello, listeners. We're back. We're still It's All in Your Head FM. Dr. Oslo Norway here. Sorry for that interruption. Welcome back to the final hour of It's All in Your Head FM, now under new management.
Islam.
You're listening to It's All in Your Head FM. We're all Mohammeds now.
Islam. Islam.
God is perfect. 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 God is perfect.
Islam.
God is perfect.
Islam.
God is perfect.
Islam. The five pillars were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad in the Arabian desert 600 years after the birth of Christ and recorded in the Quran. Now, a fifth of the world's human beings are Muslim.
God is perfect.
Islam literally means surrender, to lie down in peace before the will of Allah, the one God. But the intent of Islam is to create justice in this world, to unify the temporal and the spiritual.
Was isolated really for almost 800 years. In the desert you have either